have several who are not feeling well, so they're out, but we got a good crowd anyway. We're glad to see everybody. The title of our lesson is Lighting the Fire. And I'm going to apologize to you now because there will not be very many scripture references in this lesson, but the principles are all there. All right. So some of you might remember a sermon I did several years ago called The Roller Coaster We Call Zeal. And yes, we talked about the scriptures. There's a lot of scripture. We're supposed to have zeal in our lives. And the scripture tells us many times we need to be very zealous for good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. And so we experience highs and lows in our zeal. We realize that. Yes, we start off, we have a lot of zeal when we start off, obey the Lord, and then kind of it just kind of slows down. And occasionally we might get an upward tick and say, you know, I need to be more zealous for the Lord. I need to do more for the Lord. And so that's what we need to do. And the trick that seems so elusive for so many is that some keep, and we just can't seem to keep zeal higher more times than we have it lower. And so a lot of times we get that low zeal and we just kind of comfortable there. We just kind of rest there. And for this study, we're going to use the analogy of building and maintaining a campfire. When my children were still in school, every year they would have spring break. At first, they called it Easter break. Then they had to get rid of that, and they called it spring break. So we had a week that we would have, so we went camping. And we got out. There's a place southwest of Houston called Brazos Bend State Park. And it just, I mean, walking trails and alligators and all sorts of things out there. And so they had campsites. So we would go. And building a campfire is something that we learn to do. And our zeal, just like a campfire, has a process to get the final end result. And there are things we are going to need and a place to do it. So, hint, do not build a campfire indoors. I mean, that ought to be common sense, but every year something happens, they do that. Every time they have a hurricane down south, someone decides to bring the generator indoors and crank it up, and then people die because of it. So, don't build a campfire indoors. So, here's some things that we can do to help our zeal. And if you keep that analogy going, understanding our zeal is like that campfire. We've got to get it started, we've got to build it, and we've got to maintain it. So that's what we're looking for. And first thing we do is prepare a place. And yes, the first step is find a location that will be good for a campfire. Now, a lot of places, if you go to campgrounds, they already have a place prepared. And that's really convenient. Otherwise, if you're out there out in the open and there's not one, you're going to have to prepare a place for your campfire. And usually a place where there's room for others to sit around and enjoy each other's company. And that's the ideal thing about it. And once you locate a place, you need to clean it up a bit. I mean, this would include brushing or sweeping away leaves and other things that might ignite. Thus, might be causing problems. And of course, we're familiar with what wildfires do here in this state, and so we don't want to be guilty of starting one of those. So, God chose the law of Moses to get the Jews ready or prepared for the Christ to come. And that's what they were doing. Paul told us in Galatians chapter 3 that the law was our schoolmaster. It was our schoolmaster to bring us to the Christ. And of course, Christ himself was the fulfillment of the law. And God always wanted his people to be pure and free from the ungodliness of the nations around them. And he still wants us to be that way. He wants us to be free from the ungodliness of those around us. And where are they? They're our neighbors. There are people that we know, people we work with, people we go to school with. They are ungodly, and they are without God in their lives, and their lives evidence that. And so we have to be very careful that we don't join in with them. And so it works the same way today as it did back then. And we each must get away from the ungodliness and clear out all the garbage in our lives. Yeah, some of us have, we don't even realize we have garbage in our lives. A lot of times we just go through day by day doing the same thing we're always doing. And there's some things that we probably don't need to be doing that we need to get rid of. And it's not going to hurt us spiritually to get rid of those things. Now, once we get the fire, yes, we have to ignite the fire. And this is assuming that you have prepared your campfire with the kindling and the sticks and the logs. You might need a few little leaves just to get the fire started, and then a few little, the kindling is just small sticks, and then smaller, then bigger sticks, and then eventually you can put logs on your fire. And you light your fire any way you can. And yes, you use tools. Use a lighter. Use a match. Use a glass lens, a magnifying glass. Maybe you want to do it the old way, just rub two sticks together until they start smoking and then burning. Or you borrow a fire from another campfire and put it in yours. Sometimes you cheat and use lighter fluid. But still, you light your fire and you get it going. And in order for a fire to burn, you need three things. And this is just common sense. Every student should know this. Three things you need for a fire is oxygen, fuel, and a source of ignition. You can't have any fire without all three being present. And so anybody who works on engines, Alan Russell can tell you that. You need all three. And so you need those things. So preparing your heart to handle the fire of zeal is a challenge, and we know it. Yet it will happen if you want it to. There's the key right there. If you want to be zealous for good works, it will happen because you're going to desire it to happen. But if you don't care about it, you're not going to try. So you can have zeal for the Lord if you want to. And that's a very important lesson for us to know. And so we find ways to ignite our zeal by using tools and methods, just like building the campfire. Yes, we need Bible study. Bible study will fuel that zeal. Going to worship services is going to fuel that zeal. And sometimes get-togethers with other Christians and learning from each other. All these methods we use will help us in preparing ourselves to build up our zeal and to maintain our zeal. And so there's three things to ignite zeal. Yes, in the same way, we need God, we need character, and we need purity. That's what zeal really comes from. God, character, and purity. All right. Now fuel your fire. See, once you get the fire started, you're going to have to fuel it, otherwise it's going to go out. And we usually associate this with the preparation part. Yeah, when you do a campfire, you don't start and then it's, oh, I need some wood, I need to go find some wood. No, you usually bring that with you. And a lot of places, like where we went, you had to bring your own firewood. So we would have this already there, off to the side, ready to put it on the fire. And so we also know that we arrange our firewood in a certain way to get it to burn properly. You know, you need that airflow through there. So you kind of stack up your logs, get them started, and then you lean your logs upon it so they will start igniting as well. And this may involve stacking it in a particular way so as to allow oxygen to get to various parts of the fire. You know, when you have a whole bunch of wood stuck together, there's no oxygen in there. All they do is just smolder. But if you separate them a little bit, then the flames will pop out. And so that's how you get it to burn. So once it's started, we can add fuel to the fire. Like I said, some people use lighter fluid. That's not really recommended, but some people do that. But the lighter fluid will burn off immediately, and you'll need to fuel it again. So you need to add fuel to the fire, and in our case, for a campfire, you need wood. Zeal needs to be arranged properly in order to work to the best benefit. See, our hearts need to be prepared to seek the Lord and commit our ways unto Him. And that's what we need to do. You know, wet, green, and moldy firewood do not burn well. Yeah, I can tell you that from experience. And anybody who's ever done campfires, they know that. Go around, pick up a wet branch, and bring it over there. It's just going to smoke and create a lot of smoke. And it's not going to burn properly. So it is with a heart that is still drenched in sin. Think about that. If we got sin in our lives, it's going to be very difficult to light the fire of zeal in that condition. So once we get started, we need to add to our faith. And so adding the proper things, like we're supposed to add to our faith the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the love. I mean, 2 Peter 1:5-11 talks about that. And so we need to be prepared and have the right fuel. And this will do it. This will build up our zeal. Another thing we need to do is protect our fire. Yeah, winds can be harsh and fire danger is all around us. And if the wind blow too strong, it might blow the embers off and ignite something. And then all of a sudden you've got a wildfire going on. And that danger is all around us, especially now when it's not going to be raining for another 4 or 5 months. Yeah, fire danger is going to be present from now on through until like November. But we must shield it from the wind so that the fire is not blown out. Just like a little campfire, you blow a little air on it, it'll kind of flame up a little bit. But you do a real big puff, gone. It's out. Just like that. So we got to shield it from the wind. And you may have to protect it from rain or snow. I mean, if it starts raining, yeah, it's going to go out unless you have some way to a cover some sort to put over it. And you also have that responsibility to keep it from blowing out of the pit to other things and starting a wildfire, like we said. And we have to be aware of the dangers that are out there lurking for our soul. I mean, they're out there. They want to snuff us out. They want to silence us. They want to make us shut up. They don't want to hear anything about God, and they don't want you telling them about God. They don't want you telling them that if they want to go to heaven, they need to live a certain way. They don't want that. And so they're going to find any way to snuff it out. Just like Satan. He prowls about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And he wants you to be lost. And so Satan uses many devices. We read about that in Ephesians 6. He uses many devices trying to keep you out of heaven. And we know what they are. We learn about those things. And we can try and resist on our own, but that's very difficult. It's much better when you employ teamwork, when you work together. And that's why God put us together as a congregation. We work together because our adversary is a formidable foe. Our adversary is Satan. And we need to work together to keep ourselves free from his influence. Now, once we get the fire, we need to use the fire. You know, fire has many uses. It provides things for us. I mean, let's face it. If it's cold out, fire produces heat. And people really like that. And cooking our food to enjoy and eat. So, and we use that for cooking. And making s'mores, burning marshmallows or hot dogs or warming up a pot of coffee. Some of the luxuries we might think we can have out there while we're camping. And it provides light to see in the darkness. And it protects us from predators because they are afraid of fire. And so there's many benefits to fire. And we know fire does a lot. They use it. They employ it in industry. They employ it in medicine. They employ it in many areas. And it, to accomplish many of the same things we have listed here. Now, when we talk about our zeal, it should keep us going when things around us cool down. And that's true. When we have a tendency, we want to cool down and not be on fire for the Lord. Our zeal says, no, you need to be on fire for the Lord. And our zeal can motivate us and give us the spiritual nourishment that we need. It gets in there. If we use the tools like Bible study, as we read the scriptures, we can understand how we need to behave in certain things. And in certain situations, we can learn these things. If we never read the Bible, we're not going to know these things. So yes, that's why Bible study is a great tool that we can use. And sometimes just our very selves, I want to be on fire for the Lord, is a motivation for us to do more. What have you done for God this past week? Do you think there's any way possible you can do something more for Him next week? I mean, think about that. There's always more that you can do. We never do enough. I mean, we should never be satisfied. We may do a lot, but there's never enough. There's always more that we could do, and that's how we need to look at it. We can do more with our spirituality. We can do more with our zeal. We can take the opportunity to share the message of God with others. And so there's things we do. So we make the most use of our zeal, and that's what God wants. Our zeal can be a light for others to find their way, find the path of truth, or find fellowship. You know, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. The word of God is a light into my path. And so we shine as lights in a perverse generation, Philippians 2:13. And so, yes, we can be a light to others. We can show them the way. Our spirituality and our faithfulness and our obedience can be the type of example people need to see and find their way to the truth. Find the path of truth and find fellowship with God. And John said, our fellowship with God, we also have fellowship with each other if we all walk in the light as He is in the light. Our zeal can also protect us from Satan and, of course, the error that Satan promotes. Our zeal, our knowledge of God's word can tell us when error is being taught and we can fight against it. We ought to know when Satan is trying to get a hold of us, and there's no doubt about that. He's trying to do that all the time, no question. And so our zeal can protect us from Satan. Zeal says, no, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give in. Satan wants me to do this. Satan wants to discourage me. Satan wants me to stop doing what I'm doing. Satan wants me to be quiet and silent. I'm not going to do that. You know, in Jeremiah, as we read in our scripture reading, he says, you know, everybody's picking on me. I'm telling them the truth. They all hate me for it. They want to hurt me, and they don't like me. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm just not going to say any more about God. I'm not going to tell people about that, and then maybe they'll leave me alone. And you might feel the same way. But if God is in your heart, then it's going to be, as the scripture says, like a fire within me. I could not hold it in. I cannot keep it in. We must have that much excitement about God that we're willing to share it with others. And that leads us to the next one, sharing your fire. See, it's a good time to get together and sit around the fire. You know, a lot of times in campsites, the neighboring campers, hey, come on over, we'll sit here and visit for a while. May not know who they are, may have never met them before, but you know what? We sit around the campfire and we talk about some things, and who knows, we develop friendships that way. And we encourage people, and we sometimes get the conversation on God and what God has done for us. And so it's an opportunity. And so it's a time to get together and have good times. And really, out camping, No phones, no TVs, no iPads, no iPods, no distractions, no service. Oh my goodness, the horrors. Can you imagine? Oh, some of these kids just could not stand that. And that's just insane just to think there's no service. And so, I mean, that's one thing. And like I said, invite strangers over, share the heat of your campfire and get to know them and make new friends. So we can do things like that. Our zeal should carry us to share the gospel message. And that will only happen when we meet people. You know, if you want to stay a hermit your whole life, stay indoors, never meet anybody, then you'll feel, I'm doing okay because I'm not being influenced by the world, but you're not doing anything to influence the world. See, that's the problem as Christians. Our duty is to influence others to obey God. That's what Jesus taught there in Matthew 5:16. And let our light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify God. And if we don't expose ourselves to others, we're not going to give them the opportunity to see our good works. So yeah, we need to do that. That's one of the big problems we had in this pandemic. Everybody stay indoors. Don't go out. Stay in your houses. I mean, none of this happened. We weren't able to deal with people. We're supposed to meet people and share Christ with them. And we need to find ways to not allow distractions. It is so easy to be distracted. And showing hospitality is another way to do this. We can show hospitality to others. And then we need to tend our fire. And we have to maintain what we have or we will lose it. Like I said, if you don't keep putting the wood on there, it's not going to happen. You know, there's a passage in Jeremiah 5 where God says, the words you speak are like fire and my people are like wood. In other words, you tell these people what they need to hear. A lot of them are going to be burned up because of it. But we know sometimes fire makes things stronger. So keep adding fuel to keep it burning. And that's what you need to do is to tend your fire. And if everyone falls asleep, the fire goes out. I don't know if you've ever gone to sleep by a campfire, but you go to sleep, everybody else falls asleep. You wake up next morning, just a little smoldering ash is all that's left. Then you have to start all over. See, we must maintain our zeal or we can lose it. And we must continue to study and learn God's book. And we must continue to share the gospel message of hope to those around us. As soon as we relax, our zeal goes out like a campfire. And I'm sure there's probably not a one of us in this room where this hasn't happened to them. Our zeal can go out like a campfire real quick. And we go along, then hopefully we come to our senses pretty quick. Where'd my zeal go? I need to get it back. See, comparing our zeal to a campfire is helpful. You know, Jesus did that. Jesus spoke in such a way, he used the things that people were familiar with to express spiritual truths. And so this is kind of like a parable in our case. The parable of the campfire, if that's what you want to call it. And these formulas are basic science and common sense. And that's what happens, and it works that way. And as long as we are seeking to please God, our zeal is active and useful for its purpose. Once we fall into a rut or stop learning, our zeal goes out. For some of us, that has happened, and we need to get it back. For others of us, yeah, we waver back and forth. Sometimes we're up and down, just like the roller coaster. And so we need to get our zeal back. And if we get our zeal, we need to maintain that zeal and keep it going. So the question is, has your zeal gone out? And only you can answer that question. But perhaps we can help you get it back, but you must want it back. And that's something you're each going to have to do on your own. You're going to have to decide, I want my zeal back. and I want to do more for the Lord. And I want to serve him so that when my time comes, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you're not doing something for the Lord when your time comes, how can you expect to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? You really can't. A lot of people deceive themselves into thinking, well, yeah, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to hear those words anyway. But just let those words sink in, good and faithful servant. Now the question is, does that describe you? That's our lesson. Consider these thoughts. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, whatever it might be, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.